Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah. How are you, Josh?
Hello.
Welcome, Wake Up Hollywood. This is Nikki Carulla with my co-host, Josh Ledoux.
Hello, good morning, Hollywood.
You do it so well, Mr. Ledoux himself.
What's
How was
up,
your
dude?
Week, man? What you been up to?
Busy. Busy like always. I got school.
School sounds
politics.
So boring. Politics.
You been paying attention to politics?
Yeah, a little bit. Talk to me.
Oh, there's too much to talk
about. Oh, he's a loaded gun. Let's do it.
No, who wants it? Who wants any of them? I don't
want
any of
them. Well, you think Bernie will win? Let's just get down to California talk.
I don't know. I mean, I hope
the
Bernie
rumor is Hillary's going to win. Bernie's changed the game. And Trump is just making a lot of noise for no reason.
A lot of people are making noise with him, though.
It's crazy. It's such a, I don't blame Trump completely. It's like a bad reflection of America.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the worst. The worst.
I just keep saying, but who? Who do we vote for?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sold on all three of them.
I don't know
if we'll live through the first term. Hillary, I just
he's
don't
probably
believe.
The most funny, though. I mean, there could be some, like, SNL will have a field day, Bernie.
Oh, did you just have Larry David hired for the rest of time?
The 1%ers, all that stuff. The 1% of the 1%.
But I do agree with his policies and stuff. Like, I like the way he thinks about running the country to a point.
Bernie?
Yeah.
You know, what I like about Bernie is I think he's serious. He's authentic. I don't think he's a scumbag like I think some
You know what I love too? It's like somebody posted, like, it was just like a regular dude that was sitting next to Bernie Sanders and Coach on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, Bernie Sanders was like falling asleep. He was like totally asleep, like with his mouth open. And he was like, this dude flies Coach. Like, I respect that so much.
I don't know, though. Isn't he one of the 1%ers? Doesn't he have a bunch of dough?
Bernie? No, but he's not using corporate money. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
There are people that are giving him lots of money,
yeah.
But they're like sole proprietors or individuals. You know, it's not like... you know what I respect, too? Like, Flea said this. Flea and the Red Hot Chili Peppers wanted to give him a bunch of money, and they wanted to play at one of his events, and he said, you're a corporation... I don't want to take any of your money, but I thank you for the support. So no thanks.
Yeah, that's great.
And Flea was like, dude, I respect the guy so much. Yeah. Like, that's amazing. Like, who would do
Meanwhile,
that?
Meanwhile, Hillary's taking $300,000 gigs everywhere for banks.
Of course. That's what worries me. She's like a puppet. You know,
she lies. I really can't stand her.
Right? And she backpedals a lot.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like,
or she just laughs. That heckle she does.
That Trump, I can't have that guy represent.
I don't know. I don't hate him.
You don't hate him?
No, I don't hate him.
So you think he's going to be a good president? If he was elected,
I didn't say that.
You'd be like,
it's voting for.
He's my guy.
It's voting for the best of the worst. That's what it is.
But he's so like I gotta gong Trump. I'm sorry, I just gotta gong him because he's just like he's no good.
I want someone independent to run, and then I'll be happy.
You know, I wish Joe Biden would run. Somebody said if Hillary Clinton gets indicted for all the email scandals,
which she should,
like any other person.
She should be in jail right now.
She should be in jail. Then Biden's going to run. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if it's going to be delayed.
Yeah. Cruz wants to jump back in, too.
Cruz is done. Let's be honest. Cruz was done before he even started.
He's just as bad as Hillary. They're both scumbags.
And he just looks like a dirty swine.
You just
want to
punch him.
You just want to punch him in the face.
You really do.
Like, I'm like, I know which kid you were in the PE fields of football. You know what I mean? It's like, you just know that guy. You're like, I never liked that guy, but that guy's going to try and run the country.
It
sure.
Sucks.
You know what I mean? So I'm right there with you. Did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Too much, but my brother just had a baby.
Dude, congrats.
I know.
slapping. It's one of those. It's going to be long nights.
Not for me, but I am now an uncle.
You are his brother, so no. You will be involved.
No
you
nights.
You will be targeted for babysitting.
Eventually babysitting. When there's no boob involved anymore, I might be babysitting.
Well, congrats to Steve and Heather. It was just like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, baby Avila.
That's right. Where it was conceived. Where she was conceived. Yeah. Avila Beach, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's what they want all over the radio. But
well,
yes.
Hey, it's all out there now. I told Steve, I'm like, you should really listen to Josh. Like, you know, whenever he co-hosts, he's like, let me know. This is probably the one show. He's like, all right, I'm going to check in. He's like, dude, he's telling me
everybody. I wouldn't count on it anyway.
Maybe. I saw Civil War yesterday.
Have you seen
that movie?
No.
It's pretty awesome.
Is it?
Man, it brought out the little kid in me. I mean, there's one point, and it's one specific fight scene where there's so many superheroes on one screen. You're just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is,
but is it
so
like
badass.
A two-hour fight movie?
No, it's not. I mean, there's two huge fight scenes.
Okay.
There's a couple little setup scenes in the beginning, you know, to set up the story that have, like, you know, like some chase scenes and stuff like that. But there's two really big fight scenes, and then the rest of the movie is story-based.
Okay.
But the cool thing is it builds. There's only like 15 minutes I would have cut. Like usually those movies are like 10 to 15 minutes too long.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
But it was definitely one of the best movies because, and not that I'm going to give anything away because this is what the trailer does, but they kind of turn on each other a little bit.
Okay.
So that's pretty badass when you see allies fighting amongst each other. Like you don't know which side to kind of believe, and that's when it's just like this is awesome.
Hence Civil War.
Yeah. Hey, you, nothing gets by this guy. He's a sharp. Sharp as a tack.
I do want to see it though, but I know like Batman vs Superman. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I did.
I mean, that just seemed like a 3-hour fight scene.
That was I've had a lot of conversations about this. Apparently, Marvel does it right. And DC screws up all of their characters.
Yeah.
So anytime a Marvel movie comes out, like even Ant-Man, I thought that was going to be a terrible movie.
It was funny.
Pretty good.
It was funny. It was
so
a funny movie.
Ant-Man makes a cameo in the movie, and you're just like, this is dope. You know, because now they set it up right. They have the movies come out at the right times.
Disney.
Yeah.
Disney, man. They're on smart.
Do they own Marvel?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they own Marvel. God. They own them all now. They own.
They should just run. They should run for office.
They're huge. Star Wars.
Goofy world. Yeah, Star Wars. Like their plan is to do a new Star Wars every year. Do you know this?
No.
So they're gonna have the Star Wars that's part of the series.
Oh,
and then they're gonna have
some offshoots of it.
Some offshoots that are gonna be every year. So
like what they do in Marvel and stuff.
Exactly.
So they're following the same.
Exactly.
Thing.
Which is super smart because
they paid
tie it all together.
Billions of dollars.
And
so they're
you know,
get
my brother was
can.
Like, these are the only movies that are making money anymore.
Yeah,
it totally makes sense on a business side of things. But
all the geeks have grown up.
But I'm a geek. Like I'm such a kid. Like I was telling my brother. Like he started laughing at me because there was one point in the movie I just wanted to yell, "Fuck yeah!" You know, like it was just you're just like pumped up. Like it brings out the little kid in you. You're just like, this is fucking awesome. This is crazy.
It's pretty wild. And the CGI is just ridiculous these days.
Yeah. So like you know, we grew up with like Superman. We grew up with old school Batman, which was great. But if you look at those movies now,
there's a mix on the Batmans. I mean, there's some that are really good, and some of them are.
I like the Jack Nicholson Batman.
Yeah.
Then there's the George Clooney Batman. It really steered.
Yeah. And there was a time where they got all blacklighty, and it was like, I don't know, it just got.
It got weird. That's what I'm saying. DC kind of is inconsistent with their superheroes, but Marvel gets it right.
Yeah,
so
they really do.
Big thumbs up to that movie. It was such an entertaining movie. And I saw it at Grauman's, if you've ever seen a movie at Grauman's.
Never seen it.
You've never seen a movie at Grauman's? That's my favorite theater in L.A., man. It is an experience. Dude, it's one of a kind. I mean, that's why they have premieres there for a reason.
Yeah.
There's like a digital projector there. That's like one of three in the world. They redid the sound system, so the sound is, like, killer. It's better than any. That's one of the biggest reasons I like going there. But then the seats are super comfy, and then you see the inside, and you're like, okay, this is the best. This is creme de la creme. I don't see all movies there, but when I know
but now
a good
they got so many
out,
IMAX theaters, and they got.
But that's still bigger. It's still bigger. That one's bigger than all of them.
The screen?
Yeah. It's huge.
Come on.
I swear to God.
Yeah?
It's bigger than the one at Universal Studios. It's bigger than... The only one that can kind of come close is like the one at the California Science Center that only does like actual space movies where they actually shoot
like real
everything.
IMAX.
IMAX. That's the only one that I think is comparable, but... No, this screen is. I mean, it's an IMAX. They redid it. Like they're always ahead of the game. So.
It's sad too. A lot of the IMAX theaters are actually on a it's blown up. So it's been filmed on like, you know, the normal 35 millimeter, and then it's blown up to fit the IMAX, and like that kind of ruins it.
It does
ruin filmed on it.
But that's like majority. It's too expensive to shoot on IMAX. Even Dark Knight Rises, I think only 12 minutes or something. Oh, we're totally geeking out. Our listeners are like, okay, these guys are comic book nerds.
LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking. We're talking nerd stuff. Talk nerdy to me, right? Have you ever been to Comic-Con?
Never, but I would love to.
Dude, that if you think you're a nerd, go to Comic-Con and you get your nerdiness like in check, like right away. It. Like you walk in.
What about
you're
the chicks at Comic-Con?
You know, there's actually a lot of hot chicks that dress up like Wonder Woman and like
Jessica Rabbit or something.
Yeah, no, there's not so many Jessica Rabbits. Maybe one, but there's tons of like Wonder Women and like,
of course, especially
like
now,
sexy
now
Jedi, like, you know, women chick fighters. Like, it's pretty awesome. Nice. But there's part of you that's like, okay, that chick's definitely hired. That chick's definitely hired because you know, there's not a lot of interest for girls to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah,
you know, most of the time.
Right,
but,
right.
Man, it's intense. I walked in. I remember I walked in and I saw a guy holding his baby stroller, and he was totally decked out as a stormtrooper. I was like, I got to get a picture of this. This is intense, man. You
That's
know,
awesome.
So
was the baby dressed up like a stormtrooper?
No, no. The baby was just like regular.
Well,
but
he should have been like a little baby stormtrooper.
I know. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would.
That probably would have been.
Or a little like Darth Vader.
Now you're thinking on my level.
Yeah,
you got to go there.
This guy's slacking.
You really feel like, oh, you're like, okay, I'm a little bit more normal than a lot of these people. But the crazy thing was...
you just go to make yourself feel better?
Well, kind of. I went because I was so curious.
Yeah.
And then once I was there, like I was standing in line, like I'm a huge fan of Natalie Portman. I think she's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing a Q&A. So we were standing in line to go into a Q&A with her. And they were like, sorry, guys, we have to clear this whole area out. There's like been a lockdown. Some guy stabbed another guy with what do you call those? A compass. You know, like the where you make a circle?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and like all of us are like, oh, my God. And the next question was like, what the hell? Who carries a compass around? Like, only Comic-Con is that like the weapon of choice.
No
like,
kidding.
A compass. So,
on the TSA banned list? Do they have compass?
I'm sure it is now. Because, like, and you know, it was over, like, he was in his seat. He's like, hey, man, crazy. I'm sitting there. He's like, no, man, I'm sitting here. You moved. No, man. And then he took out his compass and... And stuck him in the eye.
What the hell was he using? Why did he need the compass?
I mean, it was just so bizarre. It was such a bizarre.
That's awesome.
But that's what I mean. Like your nerdiness. You think you're a nerd until you go there, and then you're like, dude, I'm okay. I'm cool. I'm cool to these guys. Like these guys.
No, you're not. You're not cool to them.
That's true. Actually, I totally lose cred. I lose all my street cred.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about you.
Yeah, they're like, that guy thinks he's as cool as us.
Because they're in their element. They're in their element.
That's too funny. Anyways, good times talking nerdy. I think our special guest has arrived, Mr. John Torres. Oh, our special guest. Hey, let's turn on his mic, Josh. Turn on all four. Just go crazy. Yeah, just hit all those buttons. Are they? I can't hear him. No. Hit them all. Hit all the lights. You see all the lights?
Hello there.
Yeah.
Wait, did I hear something?
Oh, now they're off. I'm sorry. Never mind. I had one ear off. Josh, it was my bad.
I'm a pro now.
Dude, I know. You were like, I'm just monkeying around here. Jeepers. So, John, you were on the show on the old network.
I was.
A long time ago. We were crammed into a little space.
Yeah.
It was stinky. It was...
I'm not hearing me. Is that
See, that's what I thought, too.
Is
a fader on? Hey, Sam, are you outside? What's going on, Sam?
As long as the people in radio
Well, play your guitar for a second.
Yeah.
Might as well...
Yeah, that mic is on.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
Wait, this is fantastic radio today.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, these guys haven't gotten their act together. No, I see all the faders. Anyways, we'll try and wing it. Sam,
probably
if you're out there, just come on inside. We just want to check.
This guy,
we want to check mics because mics
until you play at least.
And you know what? I'm gonna have you just talking to this one. Talking to this one.
How's that going?
Yeah, actually, I do hear you.
Something in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I think it's
good.
Oh man,
then we're golden.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to just wait and see. We'll play a track.
Yeah,
first,
that's a good thing.
And then we'll check. Anyway, sorry. We came late, and we're just kind of getting our shit together.
It's all good.
So, John, you were on the old network.
I was.
And now we've graduated.
And you have.
Bringing you with us. Yeah. That's how this works, man.
Yeah, this place is amazing.
So, Come on in for a second. Yeah, just come on in. Hold on. We're going to get this sound thing.
We're going to sort out the sound thing.
I feel like his mic is not working because it's not. I'm not hearing him the way I should. So I just want to... Sorry, Wake Up Hollywood listeners. We're just going to check this right.
Check one, two.
So it's right. Maybe if we can mute this one real quick just to check.
Yeah, check one, two, testing.
Oh, yeah, actually, right. Yeah, it does work. It does work. Yep. All right, maybe we're just fully at amateur hour here. That's all right. All right, well, we'll just kind of wing it and see what happens.
Yeah. Everything good. Okay.
Just go for an hour. I'll listen for a second.
Rock okay, cool. Yeah, okay. Awesome. Good. So, John, you were on the old network.
I was indeed. It was awesome.
And now you come. Did you like it? Were you surprised? You're like, damn, Nikki's moving up in the radio world.
Yeah, and I was hand-fed grapes on the way in.
Dude.
And they carried
me. I've had no grapes.
Yeah, where's my grapes?
Yeah. It was really amazing. It was very
were the ladies naked as they're feeding you grapes?
They were scantily clad. I thought that was suggestive.
I'm just kidding.
Please don't.
He's like, please don't. Please. Let's talk about this. All right, so what have you been up to? You've been playing music? You've been making videos? Talk to us.
It's been a busy time. So how long has it been? It's probably been...
Oh, a little over a year.
Over a year. So I have a 2.5-year-old now.
Dude.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah,
hold on. Studio audience, they love babies.
So that's definitely been, the eclipsing... thing in my life, the thing that's like taking main center stage right now.
I would assume. Yeah.
It's been rad. It's been awesome. And yeah, your brother is in for it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All the cliches are true. You know, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I mean, she's easy. My brother's kid. I mean, she just, it's just sleep, eat, poop. That's it right now.
Then it gets rough.
Then it gets rough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, it's been rad. I always say all the cliches are true. Like, there's nothing I can say right now that doesn't sound like a cliche you heard, but I mean it.
Right. Yes. Because you're living it. You're living it.
Let me
ask you this, as a music man.
Oh man.
Like how do you balance that? That's always been like my thing. Like, that's a hard thing to balance.
It's really been nutty. The timing of everything in my life happened really perfectly. Like I have this kind of like a songwriting publishing kind of deal that happened right like 4 months before my wife gave birth.
You're like perfect.
It changed my whole world. So
that's awesome.
That's been just like a blessing, like on a just amazing scale. So, and it corresponded. So I put out an album in 2013, the day my kid was born.
Wow.
It was the last record I've put out.
Of course, because you have a kid now.
But it was actually, it was interesting because it corresponded to like this, I was writing for a living, so I was writing a ton of music, so don't get me wrong. But in terms of my own act, I just couldn't write anything like for a year. Like I was writing, a few things would come out here and there, and some of them are gems, but like, it was just really...
But you could write for others just fine.
Totally
fine. Oh, fine.
That's crazy.
It was really nutty. So, and some of those are really amazingly personal as well, but it just was different than the stuff I normally do.
Yeah.
But the timing of that was really good because it just allowed life to sort of be able to happen as it was.
And you have more stories now.
Much more.
You know what I mean? So you have more to talk about. And it changes. Like, you're like this one storyteller is a bachelor, and then you become a different storyteller when you're married. And
you really
now
do.
You have kids, and you're
you
like...
You really do, man.
Changes the game.
And that's kind of what happened. I think probably about 8 months ago or so, I started like having this breakthrough with kind of a new path of music that just started coming out of me, a stream.
That's amazing.
So yeah, so just been working on that stuff, and then the deal I'm in as well has just opened up a ton of these other project kind
That's
of things.
Awesome.
It's been really a fun time.
You wanted to talk about another project that you're involved in. We'll get to that in a second.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite things to do on this show is give all of my guests a wet. No, I'm just kidding. No wedges involved. No. No, but I want to talk to you about your story. So let's talk. Like, how did you get into music? Mm. What was the first thing that, like, what was the first song? What was the first moment that you were like, I want to be a musician? Mm. This is one of my favorite questions to ask musical guests because it's like, what was the spark? And that fascinates me. It still fascinates me. Yeah. And I'll never forget it.
You're going to let
ever,
him answer?
Ever.
You're going to let him answer?
Maybe.
No, maybe. I love it. It's a great. It's a really well-formed
That's enough,
question.
Josh.
I knew you were going to go present that.
Done. No, it's a great question. I think I got into... Music's been like the best thing ever, but I think I got into it for probably all the wrong reasons.
Girls.
Not so much girls.
Easy there, Josh.
On a secondary level, that's what people do. That's part of it, but it's exactly that. It's like, it was the... I grew up as a kid who was like... The first thing I wanted to be was like a pro skateboarder when I was a kid. And then I like... worked and I was got like shop sponsored.
Oh, nice. That's amazing. Fun, yeah, that's awesome.
But I used to go see the guys who were like factory sponsored, the guys who were awesome, and within day one I was like, I'm not them. Like
you're like,
I'd go and try and learn one trick and they would do 10.
Right.
And then,
right.
And so it was like, you know, my dream slowly got
crushed. You could say it.
And then I'd say the second major one was I wanted to be a pro hockey player.
Wow, dude, you're ambitious, man.
Play ice hockey. I like, it's like,
that's
I'm,
crazy.
You know, it, like before I got, I'm listening to the playoffs right now. Anybody's watching, I don't know if the Caps won, don't say anything. I'm a Kings fan. But, you know.
You're gonna have people calling in like, hey, yeah. The score is 3-2.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm a, yeah. So anyway. I totally wanted to do that. That was like my dream. You played, you know.
Just, where did you play ice hockey? Where did you grow up?
It was really interesting. I grew up out here.
Okay.
So, which again is like the latest thing in the world to start playing hockey. Like Gretzky came to LA. I was like, you know, like probably 13 or something.
Wow.
Starting then. But I had this coach who was like the hockey technical advisor for every movie you've ever seen that has hockey in it.
That's
and
awesome.
This dude kind of like took me under his wing and
like Youngbloods. What was the?
He did a bunch. He did like Youngbloods,
Mighty Ducks. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking is Mighty Ducks.
Wow, nice. Really?
Yeah, I was a stunt
that's
double.
That's crazy.
In that.
That's awesome.
Up, like, so I had this really crash course in hockey where you just like got good fast. And but same kind of thing. I got to about 17, 16 years old, and I went back east, tried out for teams with guys who were just amazing, just like ridiculous. And
you're like,
I,
wow.
And I wish I would have stuck with it because I didn't know what would have happened. But because
right.
I didn't know, I was like not a man. I was like I weighed like a buck 25. And I'm like yeah. Skinny kid. I'm like I didn't know I'd like kind of grow up. You know, not that I've gotten much bigger than that. But it was like, and then that kind of dream sort of died. And then the next thing was somebody I was hanging out with friends. This was like in the late 90s or something.
Wait, do you think this is going to be a safer thing than, than skateboarding and hockey?
Yeah, it was like knife throwing.
Yeah. I want to be in the circus.
Option. Yeah, the pyrotechnics. No, it was singing. I was hanging out with friends who just were goofing around, and I was like singing some R&B song.
Of course. Like it was 90s. It was the 90s, right?
Yeah.
It's probably Shy.
Boyz II Men.
Boyz II Men.
I love to tell people, like, when they ask me, like, what your singing, like, your influences are, you want to be able to tell them, like, oh, was it Don Hathaway's
Yeah.
It was, like, Kevin Campbell.
Yeah. Round and Round. That's some shit right there.
And that's what it was. So I kind of was singing something in that vein for sure, and friends were like, that's really good. And I was like, you mean like funny? And they're like, no, that's like really good.
You could be a star.
I had no clue I had any singing talent that was anything. And again, so all the wrong reasons. All it took was somebody saying like, you're good at something.
That's crazy because this guy's got some pipes, man. Oh, like man. He can sing his ass off. So.
I feel like that's not a bad reason though.
Well, it isn't. It isn't. I think I've spent my whole life trying to undo the need to make myself feel worthwhile just because of what you do, and I think that's the danger in it. Is like all people need to just kind of find the place where they're like, "Holy shit, I'm like a walking, talking miracle just for being a human,
right?
Who survived to this age and can think and interact with people in this world, you know?" And it's so difficult because we live in a world that's like it's all about what you've done, how big you've made it,
especially
how
in this
much
city,
money you make,
LA for sure.
You know,
yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy. So I think it's, you know, it's been a process of learning how to just be like, how can I just be me and do what is honest and what's true? You know how it is. And, you know,
I find it's like, for me, it's like if I write a great song.
Yeah.
And even if nobody hears it, and I hear a Taylor Swift song that's like making millions, then I know that she probably didn't write most of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I feel so much richer that I was able to create something like that.
Until you saw her bank account.
Well, I don't give a shit about her bank account because you know what? If she was in the room and I was like, okay, you play a song, I play a song, you play a song, I know where I'd be and I know where she'd be. Yeah, that's right, Taylor Swift. That's a challenge. No, sorry.
Yeah, dude.
John's like, maybe we should cut to a commercial.
No, but I feel the same way. You get to that place where you're like, you just have to. And again, part of it is the guy who didn't make the Taylor Swift movie, you know? So it's not like I'm like, no, fuck it. If they came along,
I'm never going
to
sell out.
We all want to be successful, but it's just like you got, and it's almost like part of the upside of not making it is having to face those things so that you can come out the other end and be. Some people don't come out the other end,
right.
And really fucked up, but to come out the other end of that and be like, I still love making music, and then also being able to appreciate the responses you do get. I mean, how many times somebody called you and said, like,
that's the best
yo,
feeling.
You played, can we play the song at my wedding or my dad's funeral? Or
and you're like, oh my
those
God.
Things. Like, are you kidding
please,
me?
Please,
yeah, you know,
that's great.
Yeah. Those kind of things blow you away, and you have to take that. And
wait, you made a huge jump, though, from Shy to getting to this place. you weaseled out a lot of good points.
Okay,
so you went from Shy, Tevin Campbell, to...
So, from there, I was like, I'm good at something. I can do this. So I started, and I had written songs for fun as a kid, goofy things.
Like, stuff. What did you start playing first? Piano, guitar?
Piano. My parents had a piano. I'm self-taught with everything. I wish
That's
I knew
crazy.
More.
That's amazing.
I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I, so I started writing stuff, got into, like, bad ska bands and things in there. And
awesome.
Started writing, and then naturally, I think the acoustic singer-songwriter thing came mostly out of necessity, because you join a couple bands, it's like having five girlfriends, they all break up with you.
yeah.
Like, fuck this, I gotta do this alone somehow. Yeah. So you pick up a guitar, because it's the only thing you could transport to the gigs. And
yes.
You learn to play four
chords. I'm so glad I didn't, like, become a keyboard. Like, I play keys.
Imagine. Yeah,
but, man, I'm so glad I made that transition, because I look at, like, when I see a keyboard, so I'm like, dude, should have picked a guitar.
Right? But it's the same thing. You started, what, like, you were an opera singer.
I was an opera singer,
as a kid, right? And then,
hey, it's not about me, though. We're talking about you.
No, I'm saying the transition going from that. So got into a bunch of bands, went to UCLA, which, you know, I'm sorry about
you. See, he knows. It's a tender subject. You could have gone to SC, man. We could have been musical brothers.
Totally. But no, so I went to UCLA. I was in an a cappella group with a bunch of amazing people. Sarah Bareilles was in that
group,
right?
That's
so,
right.
And then just, and it was a really, just not just her, but everyone in that group was just amazing people. So that kind of exposed me to this whole musical theater world. I did some musical theater shows and stuff like that, some of which have gone on to do good things. And but all the while, that's when the bug started getting planted of writing songs. And I think it's funny, as much as singing is the talent that people have always, like, affirmed to me the most, I think my heart just started gravitating towards songwriting more so. You know
nice.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I'll get hired to sing operatic and a lot of Bocelli-type stuff all the time.
Like,
so there's
I'm
a lot of people just
this.
Know me as a singer, but, like, my passion's always been, like, songwriting. It's been
difficult.
It's
great, though. It's creative.
Thing,
yeah.
You know?
Well, you get creative. To a point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Totally.
I want to do this. Yeah. This is it. This is the thing that I want to do, and just that's it.
Totally. And it's still an artist passion for me. It's definitely still, I would love to sing the songs I write as much as possible, and I'm all about any other exposure like that. But it's definitely kind of more honed into, like, I just want to write songs that are moving and honest and good. And
I'm going to stop you right there because I want to get to one of your songs that are moving and honest and all that good stuff.
Definitely.
Let's have you play something first,
because
I know the mics are working. You're going to slay this. And I just want to kick the front door. Anybody that's listening, check this shit out, all right? John, what are you playing us?
No pressure. This is a song called, it's actually really appropriate because it's called I Want to Be Someone. It's all about the conflict between thinking that who you are is about what you can do and trying to get over that and hearing the messaging that changes that, I think.
Very nice.
Love it.
All of the plans I made while the world was just passing by, with those dreams flashing in my eyes, I couldn't see a thing, no. But into the night I ran, just a couple of dreams away, knowing quite well what the world would say. I should be more practical, I say. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. Hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you, no. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I see it your way and see me as you do. Well, I counted my blessings and, well, I've ran out of fingers, man. But I can't seem to understand why I'm still hungry for more. And this boulder still weighs me down. The pursuit of melodic sounds, the foregoing of solid ground, the kind I can build upon. I say, I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. I hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you, no. I wanna be someone, you say. You're already someone one day. Hope I see it your way and see me as you do. Ooh. feel this way. 'Cause you see a hero when all I see is gray. Maybe you're crazy, I don't care either way. I'm clinging to the hope in what you say. When I say I wanna be someone, you say you're already someone one day. I hope I feel the same way. I put my trust in you. No, I wanna be someone, you say you're already someone one day. I hope I see in your way. See me as you do. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, dun, 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 dun. I hope I see me as you do.
Yeah. You know, I think Josh kind of had one of those.
Fuck yeah.
You were gazing
the
to
mics,
his eyes.
The mics are working. The mics are working.
I told you, the guy's good. The guy's good. John, dude, it's so slamming. Like, you know, we have guests come in, and it's like, you know, I have, like, new artists and seasoned artists. You definitely want, like, the best of the seasoned artists.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. You know this. Like, are you being humble? But, man, I saw this kid play back in 2003. And my guitar teacher at the time was your guitarist, Tim Kobza.
I still work with one of the songs.
I love it. He's great. Big shout out to Tim Kobza.
Oh, amazing guy.
So I remember going to the Viper Room and I saw his performance and I was like, damn, this kid's good. Shit. Like, man. And we've only played, I think I don't even know if we played.
Twice.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, man.
We need to change that shit.
We really do, man.
Damn.
We really do.
So
man.
Good. It's so good.
I'd love to see it. When are you guys going to play?
And then we'll have to figure it out. Let's do something big. Let's do like El Rey or some shit.
That'd be so fun.
Let's turn it out.
Yeah, how long have you been playing for?
Yeah, damn. So right around probably 16, 17 is when I got a guitar.
Okay.
And I've still been trying to figure out how to play that.
You got it, man. Right. It works.
Enough.
Like, is this thing in tune?
Yeah. If all fails, just start patting on it.
Totally, right?
Yeah. That really gets the chicks.
That'll do it, man. Yeah. That'll do it. Hey, to come home.
Just carry around. That's all. You get the chicks that way. All
right, so let's talk about this for a second. So I saw you playing acoustic sets. Mm-hmm. You knew you wanted to do this. You started forming a band.
Totally.
And then what happened? Did you tour? Did you like put out records? How many records? I remember you signed with somebody that was...
For a while, man. Yeah,
you've actually gone through like a crazy maze. Like we both have gone through some shit.
Man.
When it comes to like that year of... Like there was no American Idol. There was no Voice. There was no show like that.
Yeah.
There was like an instant like shortcut. It was like, okay, go cut your teeth.
Yeah, even YouTube.
Yeah. No, it was all pre-.
Because even YouTube's huge now for
you know what? I,
for
like,
musicians.
I, like when I talk to like young artists, I'm like, we didn't even have text messaging back then. Like it was just started.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I remember, this is funny, a little Sarah Bareilles story. So I remember, because I was like right there when Sarah started playing her first shows ever.
Right.
And she'd probably say this too. It was emails that you sent that you like, copied and pasted into your thing, and dude, hers were just really charming, really funny.
Yeah.
They were like hilarious, you know. They're like little works of art, and people come because it's
funny, quirky.
That's
cool.
What you did. You sent emails to people,
and
flyers.
And it was like a max, remember? You'd
be
like,
God.
Shit, my email thing can only send 50 emails.
Yeah,
before there was email.
That's
you know,
so
there was
true.
Nothing.
Yeah, there was no newsletter.
Yeah.
See, you guys are lucky getting my newsletter, Josh. Damn,
totally, man. You got bombed.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. It takes time. No, but I mean, like even like the newsletter, it's like, oh, it's in color.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, that's a big deal. It's not just checks.
You can put a picture in
it. Dude,
that
was so huge.
Yeah.
Like, we were, like, cutting our teeth before any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember doing shows with you at Genghis Cohen.
Totally,
and it was just like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
These were huge, like, moments.
And even
us.
Now, anyone can record something in their home if they want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have a Mac or a PC,
anything. And then clog the system a little bit. So let's talk a little bit, like...
Yeah.
Like, I like to be real about, you know, like, that's what makes you know, people listen. So you went through a little bit of a, like, you went through the touring phase.
Totally.
You were making records. Mm-hmm. You had somebody that wanted to put your music out. Talk to us a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
yeah. So I, it's a real crazy road. The summary of it all, and I'll give you some specifics, is that I think my career is one of just near misses and weird, like, things. But again, all the things,
aren't they all in some
they
way?
Really are, right? But no, I mean, crazy ones where I, when I was about 21, I had a manager who had invested a lot of money into kind of promoting that when you came to that Viper Room show, it's probably the one and only time I've ever played at the Viper Room show. So do you remember what date that was?
It was 2003. I want to say it was April or May.
2001.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. And do you
you're
know
what
right.
date it was? What was the date?
September 12th.
Oh my God.
So backstory on that show that you were at, I had this manager who put a bunch of cash into that show, into that one showcase. And we did it. We recorded an EP,
my God.
All this crazy stuff. And that was going to be like John's big break.
Right.
September 11th happened the day before.
Yeah.
And then everybody
in the industry was
But you
out.
Still packed that place
packed
out.
Packed the place out, but it was all loved ones and people who wanted to get away from the television.
Right.
Which was like, it ended up being one of the best shows I ever played. It was like, I mean, we had like Dan Lutz on bass and Tim Pogues on guitar,
love
Mina
those guys.
Kaplan. Like, it was just like.
Great. These are all Alex great cats, Long, great musicians.
It was like this amazing group of people. And Debbie Lurie was like producing it. It was just amazing group of people. So, but again, that's a perfect example.
It's amazing that you performed the next day like that.
Oh, man. Well, we couldn't get out of it. The Viper Room was like, no, dude, you're held to the contract. So we had to do it anyway.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice, though.
It was beautiful. It ended up being this thing where people came together, and it was like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But things like that, you know.
Right.
I mean, I've gotten, courted by Interscope and calls from Ellen DeGeneres. And,
of course.
I was on the first or second season of America's Got Talent. You know, I've been called to The Voice all the time. Like, it's just this series of things like that where you just doesn't happen.
And what about The Voice? You're not interested to do it? Or
no, I've auditioned twice, and two or three times. It's kind of one of those things.
Wait.
I've auditioned for The Voice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, totally, man.
That's some bullshit.
Unreal.
That's some bullshit.
You know?
That's some bullshit, though. I mean,
anyone out there from The Voice?
No. I mean, I've seen friends. I have somebody, a friend of mine's on the show right now. But like, you know, I've seen talent that shouldn't be on the show.
Yeah,
and
you
got to
make up a good story. You know,
that's
like,
what it is. I'm like,
you
I
regenerated
to,
a leg. I mean, you have to have something.
I was going to say, I was cutting off a leg.
Yeah, right.
Just,
just go in there.
Yeah,
like
totally.
And be that guy. I was an abandoned child.
No, but it's amazing. You know, when I did America's Got Talent, it's amazing. You know whether you're going to be feature, at least on that show. I think The Voice is probably different, but like, you've got like if you got the guy with like the DV cam following you around, you're like not gonna be on the show, just so you know. If there's like 10 cameras following another kid over there, like most likely he's gonna be on the show.
Well, I did one of those shows and they did the 10 camera thing, and then one of the producers was like, yo man, they want to make this into like a circus act, so they're
probably
not going like real musicians. They're going to be like kids.
Totally.
It was the first year. And I was like, dude, totally understand.
Totally.
All good.
Which
but then I saw the show.
Was it?
It was the first season.
Of,
I remember. First
America's,
season, America's Got Talent.
Also, same thing.
Yeah.
Who were, did
and
you
was,
used to do the whole kook in front of the kooky judges?
I did. Yeah. Oh, I went to like some. So I ran into a friend and she was like, hey, you should just audition for this producer or whatever.
Yeah.
There was like 40 producers.
Of course.
And they were like, they went apeshit. It was myself, my lead guitarist, and my saxophonist. And they were like, why didn't you audition by yourself? I was like, no, I'm in a band. Like, this is what I do. This is what
I
remember there were like two gypsies with a donkey like waiting outside the room. And I'm like, and you know what? The funny thing is, they were on the show.
Of course.
And it was like the worst thing to watch.
Yeah.
But they were on the show to get buzzed. Like to be eliminated.
Of course.
But it was just like as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is not it.
I think a lot of these shows are getting better with that stuff, though.
No, they are.
Yeah.
Because people are done with it. Again, Idol had
so many
bullying.
Seasons of that. I mean, they're just producing these shows to teach you to bully.
Like, while I was on the show, like the day I got judged, I got judged by Hasselhoff.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And Piers Morgan. Like, what
qualifies
for me? Like, who gives a shit about any of your opinions?
Yeah. These people, right? It was the day.
We could do a whole show just on that.
It was like the same week that Hasselhoff had like the famous burger incident.
Oh yes,
he's
on drugs.
Yeah, he ate a burger on camera.
Oh my god!
I'm like, you know,
different Knight Rider altogether.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about you making records. When did you make your first record? So, what was that process like for you?
Again, being a child of that era where you sent emails for shows, yeah. My first records would be these like crappy things that we put together where you burn them on
your own.
Those
are so painful, right?
So painful.
It's like now that you see how easy recording is for people, I'm like, you know, it wasn't like that when we started. You had shitty demos. Like,
started that way, and I'd say really the first... And then I did a bunch of weird concept records. I was one of those guys who was like, I'm going to create a new band. It's not going to be this. It's going to be da-da-da-da. Create this. So I did a couple of those. And then I'd say...
How did those turn out?
Cool. Like, some of them were some of my favorite records I've ever done.
You're like, it was ahead of its time. That should have been your reply. Totally. It was way ahead of my time.
I was big in, you know, big in Japan.
But you know, the funny thing is, you could probably sync all that stuff now.
Oh, and people would be like, I do. Dude, this is great. Yeah. All that stuff syncs now.
It's like, where have you been? Oh, I did this 20 years ago.
It's like the postal service. I'm like, I know. Yeah.
I was heavily influenced by that.
Totally. Why are you singing about email?
Yeah, so bitter about it. No, but so I started back then. I have probably like I'd say there's about five releases. The last like decade or so, there's really like three major releases that I did. There's a record in 2009 that I'm really proud of called Music After All.
That's the one that's this is not
mostly,
that one.
That's a 2013 one. That's just right. Like a self-titled thing. And then I did a live record called Live at the NoHo Brick House a few 2010, like right around there. And then I'm kind of working on some new stuff now. So
solid. Let's play something. What do you want to play? What's the first track you want to play from this?
So let's play a tune. Okay. So there's this thing I'm working on with Kobza, which Tim Kobza. Him and I have been kind of having this cool breakthrough of writing. So this would be cool. This is a tune called Boy. I think it's probably the second track, not the first one. This is a song off a new project that I don't even have a name for. I don't think it's going to be a John Torres record because you'll hear it's a kind of a double vocal sort of vibe. Cool. And but yeah, I've kind of started writing a ton of tunes in this vein, and Tim and I have kind of teamed up. We're trying to come up with sort of a concept. Another friend of ours.
You want us to name it? We're here. We're available.
If you guys would like to lend
what's the name? What's the name of this track?
Boy.
Boy.
So it's about the kiddo. So
let's do it. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Colors and I watch you name them one by one, discovering water in these mesmerizing moments in the sun. Must be time travelers, cause I blink and you have aged another day. Try to describe my feelings, but the words just sound like all those old cliches. The cards never love so deeply. So many things I wish that I could say to describe these moments. I guess that's how the poets made their names. This word of such strange joy. He races round this place as if it's outer space. But before I even write the verse, I see his tiny universe has grown and he is not the same. I stand in awe here whispering his name. You've got such curiosity. Now I've begun to see this world is not the place I knew. Who you are is what you do. It's all about this moment. This moment they can never take away. This word of such strange joy. You name them one by one, discovering water in them. mesmerizing moments in the sun must be time travelers. Is it blinking you have aged another day?
Yeah! So, dude, first of all, that was like Elliott Smith, like awesomeness, Good Will Hunting soundtrack. Loved it. Tell us a little bit about the influences, what went into making that track.
So,
besides having a child.
Yeah, I think having a
and
child,
shy.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, yeah, shy is a heavily. Yeah. Yeah,
Tevin, you know, I really wanted to get my
yeah,
Tevin Campbell.
I fall in love by shy. No,
you know you sang that shit. I did. Yeah, I know. I did that's why I called that out. I was like, group, yeah. I'm going to call
so
this
you're
guy.
Happy YouTube didn't exist. You'd be ancient that videos of you singing.
But you know what? You got the girls, man. Like, you got their attention. You're just like, at that age, you do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
He's gonna go home and sing that to his wife.
Work for John B. Right?
Too funny. All right, so talk about that track.
So I had this kind of breakthrough. Largely, you know, again, it's a double vocal, kind of sounds like Elliott Smith sort of thing. That was a big thing for me as a vocalist because this is kind of funny, like, or not funny. It's
like, I don't want to do that.
You know what it is? It's, I know. My voice, a lot of times, becomes the focus of the songs and not the... Because I can't stop singing more. I have this kind of weird musical theater-ish, classical thing. I can't get away
from
it.
Well, you sing
that.
With passion.
Yeah. Totally, man. But a lot of times what ends up happening is the song becomes about that. And to be honest with you, I think with writing and with this stuff, all the stuff on the past records, I started analyzing the stuff I actually dig over the years. Because you do so much stuff, you're just trying to, like, make an impression all these years. And when I looked back on the things I liked the most from my own stuff, it's always the stuff where it's not really rangy, it's not super dynamic.
Right.
It's just more like about the lyrics and some and simplistic melody. I'm not like really into the stuff that I have all these pop things where it's like this vocal thing.
Well, it's the age too. Like
age.
When you're young, you're like, I want to show the world everything. Yes, exactly.
100%.
And then you get older, and you're like, I don't give a shit. I want to be Tom Waits.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of it. It's like so anyways.
No more moonwalking.
That's right.
You get rid of the moonwalking.
Like,
yeah.
Done.
You get a stool.
Yeah,
I'm at the point where I'm like, do I even want to wear a collared shirt anymore?
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Terrible. It's terrible. Getting old. It's weird, man. It's just strange.
It does a number on you.
No, but I like the direction. It's like, first of all, it's super cinematic.
Yeah.
Melody is slamming. I mean, it's like beautiful. The guitar sounds are great. It's like moody, atmospheric. No, man, it sounds great.
Thank
so, you. I know what you were about to say. You were like, you know, doing the double vocal thing.
Opened up the whole...
So tell me what made you take that step.
So I was kind of looking at some of the music I was listening to, and not so much for songwriting, but for aesthetic. And it's like a lot of like Jose Gonzalez and a little Elliott Smith. It's certainly like some kind of Paul Simon and that, like things that are just have Simon and Garfunkel even, you know. And I think what happened is I started looking at those things but when I'd write songs, it was all about the vocals. So, and I was just kind of sick of songs like that. I'd write songs that sound like singer-songwriter songs, but more proper. And I was just done hearing myself singing them in some ways as a writer. And then I started doing this, just like screwing around with it one day. And it has this effect on me, me as a listener, that like
pulls you in.
It pulled me in, and it was like it became about the songs and less about the vocal. You know what I mean? And
it comes about. It's about the melody and the words. Like
seriously,
then you're just like, oh my god, is that me? I love it.
Yeah, it's totally. And so we've written like maybe 10 of those, kind of in that vein, and still kind of going. And now I'm just kind of looking to put that out. And then
what I love about it, so it really is cinematic. Like I say that as a huge compliment, because like I find now it's like when I go see a movie. When you see a song paint a scene,
100%.
It's like, oh my god,
yeah, and that's like my
so shit.
I love
you know?
that's in a nutshell. That's really what I want to do is paint some kind of a picture of everything I do. You know, so yeah, that's been kind of in this particular project. And there's again, like I could talk to you for hours on all the other things that are.
We're gonna have you back. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
You passed the audition like years ago.
I mean, I think it's cool that it reflects your life. I mean, how like you're saying how you. All the things you moved up from shy, but from moving up from that, but then having a child and singing about that, and I'm sure people going through the same exact thing can really relate.
And you probably played it. I assume you played it for your child.
I have, yeah.
And like, is he probably
no
like?
Response.
Yeah. He's like playing with Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cool. Can I play video games? You're like, one day.
Yeah. Shows no. You know, every now and then he's like. No.
He's like, can we change it?
He's like, stop. I'm playing with my iPad here.
he's got his little like playlist. I've been trying to like insert music, and it's just like he's got like two or three songs. He just wants to hear them over and over again. And they're not great.
Yeah, of course. They never are. He's never going to be like, put Kind of Blue on Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Dude, if I had that kid, I'd be like, I'm going to protect you from the rest of the world.
I'm going to go cave. I'm just going to listen to this.
I want you to play something else live. Yeah, I want to get to all your tunes because, man, I love hearing you play. Like,
thank you.
That's part of, I'm going to be honest. Like, we're all right. You know, part of the treat for me to have you on the show is to have you play for us. You know what I mean? So, what are you going to play for us this time?
Again, this is something off the first record. The last song was off the 2013 album. This is something off Music After All. I was thinking of this is a song called Depend on Me. I wrote this for the missus some time ago. So. Let me take this off here.
No worries.
She says, I really need to tell you about the hard day I've had. We talk, eventually it always turns out to not so bad. The way she sounds, there's something happening, something new I see. It's wonderful how you depend on me. We talk, sometimes it's like we're sharing a brain, the way you speak my language. Though too, it happens like we're one and the same. And so we share our damage, and as those storms come raging at this boat lost out at sea, I hope she knows she can depend on me. Cause we're floating away. We'll let them all pass by. No words left to say. No reason not to try. This time we both know why. One day when both of us are over the hill and our minds are fading, we'll laugh and think about the days in the past when we were only dating. And as we watch our lives pass into memories and dreams, I hope that day you're still. I wonder if she will. I hope that day you'll still depend on me.
Very nice. Woo! Such a pro. You guys didn't hear that, but his headphones fell off in the middle. That was awesome, though.
I do have to say one thing is that there's no girls writing music for guys unless it's breakup songs and shitting on them. And guys like write these beautiful, beautiful songs.
Seriously,
for women.
What's up, ladies?
Some bullshit. That's some bullshit.
We should write breakup songs.
Yeah.
Switch power.
Oh, you'd be sexist then. There'd be something wrong with you if you did it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You got a really good point there.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? That's my one question. Sure. And my second question is, where are you playing next? What's your situation?
So, interesting enough, I haven't done a lot of live shows, like in terms of my own stuff, which is why we should do an El Rey or something.
I'm ready.
It's been other than private events.
I gotta wear a t-shirt though.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear my pajamas, man. I'm not even gonna change for that shit. No, man. No, so it's, you know, I do a lot of like private stuff, but I haven't done a lot of me going out and doing the clubs and playing shows. But yeah, as far as the albums are all Spotify, iTunes, the JohnTorres.com.
So spell it out because people are dumb.
Go ahead. So it's JohnTorres.com, JohnTorres voiceofhollywood.com.
What, you do character voices?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Looking for
only for my URL.
Voiceovers. Now we have voiceover.
Yeah. So no, and then it's John Torres. I'm on Spotify. I'm on iTunes. The website, you know, Bandcamp, all that fun jazz. And
you play jazz too?
I do. That's one thing I don't do.
Well, but, yeah. John Torres, once again, I got to tell you, you're one of the few guests I just really get into listening to the songs, and like you really just you hit it out of the park. So, anyways, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, dude.
You're the man. And johntorres.com, johntorres.com. Catch him there while you can. On behalf of me and Josh Ledoux, we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.